Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
You're very welcome to another episode of the Sideshow Garden Podcast. Anything you hear on today's show at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesideshow and sideshow.com. On the end of the line, I have a gentleman by the name of Max Harriman. We'll get to Max in just a little bit, but where and why this phone call has taken place, it's kind of like a little bit of a family tree, because on one channel on my left-hand side, in my head and my imagination, I have Anca Pennate and Caitlin McLaughlin, who were both finalists of the RHS Young Designer of the Year. On the other hand, I have a gentleman by the name of Andrew Fisher-Tomlin, who works with Andrew Wilson, who both run the London College of Garden Design and are both former guests of the show, as are Anca and Caitlin. In the middle of all of that is another gentleman by the name of John Wire, and John is one half of Bowls and Wire, which is where Max works. And so all of this is starting to piece together. Now, park that entirely to one side, and we then come to a conversation that I had with Andrew Fisher-Tomlin some weeks ago. Let me just play you this little clip, and it'll explain to you a little bit better why the Sideshow has taken such an interest in the Young Designer of the Year competition.
So I've always said you get more ideas and new ideas from teaching than you ever would going to Chelsea Flower Show. Chelsea Flower Show is full of designers who've seen things and are bringing it to a mass market. You'll actually get more ideas, new ideas, at somewhere like Tatton, or because there's people, they're almost trying harder, you know, they haven't got big budgets and things. And because otherwise we'll just keep having the same people doing these show gardens and it gets quite boring and dull. And anything we can do, like the competition we had at Ascot with the colleges, is great. Because I firmly believe, and I've always seen, the new ideas coming from young people. People who are coming into the industry and they haven't got any hang-ups about, I should only use this combination of planting because this is acceptable. And it hit home to me a few years ago when I was judging a garden. I think it was at Chelsea, I was giving some feedback, and I said, great garden, but the planting's a bit weird for what your story is. Why did you do this planting? And they said, well, you know, because the best in show last year, that's the planting they did, and they got a gold medal. I said, well, it's got no relevance to your garden, though. That's their garden. And I think that's the trouble, where you get people are just the same people doing the same thing, and they make it into a formula, whereas young people are actually got more, they're sort of hungrier for it, and they're more willing to make mistakes, but also try new stuff. And I think that's why these new shows and the smaller shows and the younger shows are much more exciting.
And so that led me to call Max and say, number one, I like the design that you've done. Number two, I know your boss. Number three, I know Andrew and Andrew and Andrew. I hope all of that makes sense. It's an elongated intro, but I needed to get it out of my system, and I have done. Max Harriman, you're very welcome to the Sideshow. How are you, my good man?
Thank you very much for having me. I'm very well, thank you.
You're most welcome. Max, let's take this two ways. We'll start at the start. How did you get into horticulture, and bring me up until the point of where you are now, which is working with Bowls and Wire?
Okay. That's quite a long-winded one, but I shall start from the beginning, I guess. I grew up on a arable farm in Northumberland, so I was surrounded by plants and the growing of plants, and from a very early age. I was fortunate enough to live right next door to my paternal grandmother, who's a fantastic amateur gardener, a very knowledgeable plants woman, to whom I owe a lot of my horticultural knowledge. But I started gardening from about 9 or 10. So I had a 2x4 meter vegetable plot when I was 9 years old, which expanded to a 5-bed raised bed vegetable garden through my teenage years, to which I grew vegetables and fruit for friends of the family and neighbours. That went on to having a greenhouse, which I grew tomatoes, fruit, and also carnivorous plants, orchids, and that sort of took me to study plant biology at university. So I studied botany at Manchester University. I looked at improving the genetic diversity in crop wheat at an institute in Cambridge. I also studied floral development genes in orchid flowers. So I had a really varied time in my 4 years in Manchester. A couple of years ago, I moved to London to study at the London College of Garden Design. Graduated last year, and I've been at Balsam White ever since.
Let me bring this back, Max, because on that episode with Andrew Fisher-Tomlin, and for you listening at home, you can actually, in podcast land, you can pause this, go back, take a listen to that, and Max's interview will play on from where you've just left off. But one of the points that I made with Andrew Fisher-Tomlin was that as a 10-year-old college, Max, that to start up your own college and then to have that qualification respected industry-wise. This is backing up, I guess, what Andrew said. But how long was it before you left the London College of Garden Design and started with Bowles & Wyer, who, to be fair, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but they are one of the top design companies in the country, without question?
Yeah, I think that's a very fair statement. I was really lucky, actually. I finished my studies at the London College of Garden Design, graduating in July last year, and I started at Bowles & Wyer a week later.
Wow.
I was lucky enough that, sort of thrown in in the deep end. I was lucky enough that John and Andrew Wilson are really good old friends, and there was an opening at John's company. Went forward for interview and was lucky enough to be accepted into the job.
Here's another one then for you, Max, because in some cases I hear people leave a college, they end up in a design office, and essentially they get to do a bit of design, but they're more T-boy, to coin a phrase, if that's okay to say. You didn't end up doing any of that. You were thrown in, like you said, very much at the deep end. How deep were you thrown in?
Well, I do make tea, I must admit. still, anyone at Bowles & Wyer will know that I'm definitely still tea boy sometimes. I chose to go to an established company straight out of college, really because coming out of college so green, pardon the pun, is terrifying. It's a really, really daunting thing to do. But if you're lucky enough to go to an established company, you have such an advantage of continuing your education in established business. You can see how that business works. You're thrown into supplier relationships that go years back. You're given all these different presentation styles. You have better understanding of things like tender packages, how client meetings work. The list goes on and on. But that's something that if you're on your own, you wouldn't necessarily have for a number of months, even years. Yeah, I thought that was something really important coming out of college, is to continue my education.
What kind of work did they have you doing from the get-go, Max?
Yeah, so Bowles & Wyer were fantastically supportive from the off. I remember in my first week, I was designing a roof garden and thrown on to detailing multi-million pound projects. And the good thing about Bowles & Wyer is not only the quantity of work they have, but the variety as well. So roof gardens in the city centre of London, we do country gardens and everything in between, really. So it's a really fantastic place to learn and a fantastic place to work. Also, Bowles & Wyer have been great in terms of sort of trusting or having faith in their new recruits and allowing people like me to actually get stuck into my own design work, which is really cool.
Bring me then straight into, if you can, Max, the point at which you then entered.
Yeah, of course. So actually, it goes back a couple of years. When I was at college, I remember Andrew Fisher-Tomlin actually mentioned the competition and said, I mean, of course, I was on a career-changing course at the London College. He said to me, look, Max, not that many people your age already in this industry. This is a really good competition to go for, and you've got a really good chance of getting into it, at least at interview stage. It's going to be a really fantastic experience. So actually, I heard the competition through Andrew Fisher-Tomlin. So I left college knowing that I wanted to enter the competition, obviously asked the company if they were okay with me entering. So I started my design work in September with me submitting a design.
That garden has obviously been accepted. The garden is called Calm in Chaos. What is that garden with your eyes closed for the listeners at home?
So the overriding theme for the Young Designer competition was Feel Good Gardens, which immediately drew me into feel good, mental health, mental well-being. And I sort of related that back to young people. I'm entering a competition, the Young Designer of the Year. Why not sort of focus it on young people? And I related that to young people living in the urban environment. So 80% of young demographic live within urban or suburban environments. And within those urban environments, you have a 20% increase of having mental health issues. So I based my basic concept of the garden on improving mental health with green space. As I said before, I did a plant science degree, so I threw myself into scientific literature, and there's a wealth of content and an ever-increasing understanding of why and how green space has a positive impact on our mental health. And I came across papers that identified certain elements of natural environments that cause restorative experiences on our mental health. So I focused my whole design on these key elements, and that evolved from there. The garden, A Calm in Chaos, is meant to be a sanctuary within the urban environment for people who might not necessarily have access to green space where they live. But yeah, that's how it all came about, really.
You could have designed this garden, though, Max, to, how do you say it? In my head, there are two ways to design gardens. One, this is the formula to win gold, which keeps the sponsors happy. Number two, mm-hmm. This is the work medal, which is the one that this can be easily replicated, so I look good and I earn lots of money out of it. And number three, there's the one where you think with your heart and you almost sing romantic songs to a bow on the far side of a river and you woo her towards you. And yes, I know, Sideshow listeners, you'd be aware of where I'm heading with this. You seem to have sang a little bit more with your heart.
Yeah, I think so. I think coming into a competition like Young Garden Designer of the Year, where I'm not incredibly experienced, I think that's really important to have a concept that's really, really strong and something that you feel really, really passionate about. I think that's a really good way of going forward into a competition like this.
You say to me, Max, that you haven't got a whole lot of experience, but then I know from talking to John, you've been designing rooftop gardens, and that may sound a little bit fancy Dan to the listeners at home, but you don't just walk into a job 1 week after leaving college with bowls and wire. Not everybody can do that, number one, so there has to be something about you. And number two, you're either able to design rooftop gardens or you're not, and you are. So like, get experience of design, but there's a difference between show garden design and garden design. So is the idea of this garden then, Max, a corporate garden, conceptual garden? It's never meant to be replicated. It's just meant to show that I can do something that's round instead of square.
So the brief of the garden was a space for someone to come if they haven't got any green space available to them. Say if they're living in a flat without a balcony or back or front garden. And the whole concept of the garden is to lift the guest out of the urban context, sort of far flung into, say, like a woodland environment or something, but also increase the amount of interaction with that green space to maximize the restorative benefits that's associated with that. And that comes back to that scientific paper that I was looking at, and a couple of the elements that were identified in that study were making the guest feel away or having a sense of escape. There's also the feeling of extent or scale. So that's something else I'm trying to incorporate within the garden. A feeling of distraction. So things to fascinate or slow down the guest, to distract them from stresses of urban life. And also accessibility. Is there somewhere to go and sit? Do you want to actually go and explore the garden? Which I think is sometimes a downfall in green spaces within cities.
Is this a first for you, Max, to design a show garden?
It is, yeah. Yeah.
Curiosity Killer Cat, have you worked on show gardens before?
Yeah, so my time at London College of Garden Design, I was given the opportunity to work at Chelsea Flower Show, which was absolutely incredible. I did that last summer. I was part of a planting team for one of the BBC Radio 2 gardens. And I also then, from that experience, went to Hampton Court and helped on a garden there as well. So I've got a little bit of an insight into how a show garden build works, which will be very, very helpful for the competition ahead.
It does change things when you go from, and I'll reference myself in this one, but working, building the last rooftop garden that I built, I was talking seven-figure sums. When I go from that into designing my first show garden, where it's essentially self-funded with lots of little bits of help, or where can you get somebody to give you this product for free that you can use, and it's not ideally what you're looking for in a lot of cases, but you manage to morph it into the design because it's essentially all you can get your hands on, and money is tight. Was that element of it a challenge, or a different challenge, Max?
It has been a challenge. I obviously, you get the funding from the RHS as sort of a leg up into the build of the garden. We're also supported by Deepdale Trees, who have kindly given us £1,000 towards our show gardens. But it is a matter of putting out that design for your entry, and then coming back to that design later when you have a better understanding of cost, and potentially altering it, tweaking it here or there. And as you said before, getting in contact with suppliers, getting in contact with charities, and starting up that discussion about maybe borrowing or loaning something, getting something for free, which is, it's difficult and it's really stressful, but it's also really a great experience. It's really good to sort of build those relationships with suppliers and start that discussion.
And I went out on my own when I was 24, going 25 years of age. I do have very fond memories of ringing up companies saying, "How you doing? It's Peter Donegan. I'm looking at building a show garden," and them saying, "Who?" and now it's a little bit easier because I'm obviously a little bit, how do I say this, more mature in the trade. So to put that into some form of perspective for John or for Andrew Wilson or for Andrew Fisher-Tomlin to pick up the phone and say, "How you doing? It's Andrew here." There is no "who's this" at the end of the telephone line. Everybody would be aware of that. You just give it to them because you know something good is going to come out of it. In my and your case, if I bring myself back 15, 16 years, you're very much at the start point. Have you come across any of that, Max, and how did you get around that, or is that just part of the experience, or did the fact that you worked for Bowles and Wire help that maybe a little bit?
Well, yeah, you're not wrong. I think a part of reaching out to companies and organizations, a large part of that is rejection when you're first starting out in your career, and that can be really soul destroying, and that's something that I've definitely experienced coming into this. But as you say, working for Bowles and Wire and having Bowles and Wire building the garden has definitely helped me in certain respects, not only because of the name, but because those supplier relationships are already established. If you get what I mean.
There are a few people I know who I pal around with, you might say, in the industry, where I know I get to send them designs and say, "Look, what do you think about this?" And on one hand, you know, if my mom was around, God bless her, if I showed her any of my designs, it could have been a stick in the middle of a field of grass, and she would have said, "Peter, that's amazing." But the point I make is that you don't get the emperor's new clothes syndrome in a design where corrections or edits maybe need to be made. And the knock-on effect, for those who are not aware, is that you can make a decision which essentially escalates the amount of manor units required to build a garden by 3 weeks just by putting in a stone cladding on a wall as versus an instant hedge as a backdrop. And the installation time, when weather is against you and things start to go wrong, it's colossal. Was somebody like John, was it handy and helpful to be able to go to him and say, "Did you edit the design maybe based around that conversation?"
Well, actually, going into the competition, I stayed in the office late. I came in the weekend to really get my teeth into the application, and I ran it past a number of members of staff at Bowles and Wire, but actually the attitude was sort of to leave me to it at that stage, which was I kind of appreciated, I think. But when I sort of got further into the competition, that's when Bowls and Wire really sort of turned around and gave me advice. They've got a lot of experience in building show gardens, particularly at Chelsea Flower Show. So they know tricks of the trade. They know you don't need that much subbase. That's ridiculous. It's only for a temporary installation. So they were really helpful in that respect later on in the competition.
Not to say that you made mistakes, but if you fell along the way, then you learned how to pick yourself back up. Is that what you're essentially getting to?
I think so. I think it was a competition. It was an individual competition from the off, and I think it would be potentially, I don't want to say wrong, but not great for them to have influence on a design straight from the off, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I think that sort of removes the merit of the whole competition, which I really respect Bowls and Wire for letting me sort of have a handle on it from the off.
I want to bring you back a slight bit, Max, if I can, because the London College of Garden Design and Andrew Wilson and Andrew Fisher-Tomlin, how valuable was it that you went there looking back now, almost a year later, essentially, to where you are now?
When I first decided to take the plunge and go for my career in garden design, I looked at a number of different colleges. And London College of Garden Design really stood out, primarily because of the people who were teaching. London College of Garden Design is known for its small teaching groups and a high teacher-to-student ratio. So that was definitely something that was really important and was really valuable whilst I was studying there. And as you said, you get James Bassond, you get Professor James Hitchmo, you get Olivia Kirk, all these amazing tutors coming in and sitting down and going over your designs, which is incredibly valuable. These are people who are leaders of their industry, but also people who are practicing, which is amazing. But also something that was really, really valuable, just on the off chance that I was there last year, was Andrew Wilson, of course, was doing his show garden at Chelsea. So when I started in September, he was sort of giving us little nuggets of what was happening in his process up to the flower show. So that was a really interesting experience that I might not necessarily have got if I'd gone 2 or 3 years before. That was something really, really interesting and really valuable.
And for those who listen at home, that interview with Andrew Wilson and Gavin McWilliam, it was their gold medal winning garden on Main Avenue, Chelsea last year. It's a fascinating insight because they hadn't been awarded medal, but the garden had just been built at the point of that interview. You should go back, higher than highly recommended. What do you hope to get out of doing the Young Designer of the Year competition? I don't mean that you anticipate that you'll win it or that you'll get $1 million or it's like being on Family Fortunes and you walk away with a speedboat. But why? What was the point at which you said, this one's for me?
Actually, I heard about the Young Garden Designer of the Year competition when I was still studying it at college. And it was something that Andrew Fisher-Tomlin really pushed towards me and sort of encouraged me to apply for. So I've always had it in the back of my head that I would apply for it. In terms of why it was so attractive to me, was because of the mentoring scheme. So we got through college sort of little offers or invites to apply for other show gardens, other flower shows. But that, again, is really daunting just coming fresh out of college. But this competition with the mentoring scheme with Paul Hardy Brooks and going through the experience with other designers sort of in a similar position to you was really attractive to me and was an opportunity to learn about the whole experience and also to learn the whole process of producing a show garden.
And again, Max, this is your first garden, your first inverted commas show garden under your own name.
Yeah. That's right, yes.
And I know from talking to previous entrants to the Young Designer competition, and we have had Paul Harvey Brooks on, he is a former guest of the show on a number of times. It's a hard enough process to even become a Young Designer of the Year finalist.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, the competition is run by the RHS, so there's that level.
Well, let me put this in context for those of you listening at home. Former guests of the show, Kate Saville and Tamara Bridge, you can go back and listen to that episode. They're designing at Chelsea 2018. They would have been finalists in it. Our very own, again, former guest of the show, Anka Pineda and Caitlin McLaughlin. It's a high caliber list.
Yeah, absolutely. The names that have come out of the competition, really, really inspiring. And of course, the competition is led by the RHS, so there's that level of expected quality from the off, really.
I should also note that the RHS Flower Show Tatton runs from the 18th to the 22nd of July, and tickets are on sale as we speak. And if you're stuck for any information on that, if you're on the road, if you're driving, Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesideshow and sideshow.com. Max, on the garden build, are you going to be involved in the build of this garden? And number two, will you be getting your hands dirty in the build of this garden? What's the team like, or has that part been put together yet?
I'm lucky enough to let Bowls and Wire have offered to help me build the garden, which is just a really, really fantastic backing to have going into a competition like this. Yeah, I'll absolutely be helping with the build. It's something that I'm really looking forward to as part of the competition. I think one of the most exciting parts of the whole experience will be transforming a patch of bare grass into the garden that I've had in my head since September. And that's something I'm really looking forward to and can't wait to get on site and get stuck in.
Max, have you always worked in the horticultural trade?
So I left university. So I did plant biology at university, as I said, and I wanted to go into research, but found out that that really wasn't for me. Found out I was stuck in a lab for days and nights. So I left that, and I stayed in Manchester, and I ended up running bars and restaurants in the city centre.
Has that helped you a little bit, Max, in what you're doing? But as a guy who has done that...
I think it's really important. I think if you can run a busy restaurant or a bar in the city centre of Manchester, you've got a pretty good understanding of how business works. And as you said, customer service is really important, especially in this industry as well.
And I will double underline that. It is a skill that not everybody has. Some people fold and some people don't.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And people that understand that sort of environment is very highly pressured, and it's high pressure for... a long amount of time.
A lot of people have grand visions of, oh, I'm going to go and design a garden, and then the pressure kicks in. All of a sudden, I'm sitting over in the corner rocking back and forward, and this isn't what I thought it would be.
Yeah, I think that is important. And I think that a lot of that type of work is that high-pressure environment with your sort of front of house face on, sort of your swan swimming calmly with feet kicking as hard as you can. And hopefully that's a skill that I can transfer onto this garden build. It's going to be a project where I'm managing a team of people. I mean, hopefully these sort of skills will be transferable in that context.
And if you've ever built a garden when weather isn't on side, I'll rephrase that, if you've ever built a show garden where weather is not on side and it's delaying you by 5, 6, 7, 8 days, it is very much a case, as Max just said, of literally kicking your feet below water level as fast as you can go. But when the cameras come around the corner or the radio microphones come around the corner, you have to sound as Max sounds now. Dealing with the media, Max, that's another one that you're going to have to get used to, I guess.
Yeah. This is my first interview ever. So hopefully my nerves haven't got the best of me too much.
Has doing the Sideshow interview been a nervy one for you, Max?
Yeah, I must admit. Out of my comfort zone. Hopefully it'll be all good experiences.
Max Harriman, 26 years of age, is a finalist for the RHS Young Designer of the Year competition. It takes place, as previously noted, at Tatton Park. The Flower Show runs the 18th to the 22nd of July. Tickets are on sale as we speak. And my thanks to Max's boss, John, for nodding me in his direction. If you're stuck for any of Max's information, just send us a note at such on Twitter, Facebook.com/thesideshow and sideshow.com. Thank you so much for listening. in the meantime, Max Harriman, very best wishes. It's been a real pleasure chatting to you.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Peter. It's very kind of you.
Yeah, not a problem, Max.